Ladies and gents, welcome to Stories from In Circle with me, Stacey Harkey. I'm here today with Daniel Spencer.
Hello. Hi.
My kickball team, whenever someone does something good, we vogue a bit. We're like, yes.
We love.
Bow. Yeah. Daniel, you are wildly talented, obviously. Where might people have seen you?
You might have seen me on Provo's Most Eligible. Provo's Most Eligible. That was an interesting time. It's a straight dating show on YouTube. Check it out. But most likely people have seen me on TikTok or Instagram. Maybe even Reddit. I occasionally get like videos or notifications from people being like, hey, you are on Reddit right now.
And I'm like, Reddit's always like,
okay, great, cool.
It's always like sneaky. I'm always like, oh, I'm on Reddit. Like, what's happening?
Yeah, people are like, hey, you're trending right now on Reddit. And I was like, I didn't do that, but sure. Right, cool, wonderful.
They're like, I hope it's all right. So you used to go by the name, do you still go by Dan Bam?
Yeah, Dan Bam Bam. Yeah.
Dan Bam Bam.
I had to change it one time because, I won't go into the story, but I was absent for about a week, and then TikTok took my at away. And
no.
I went back to being like, you know when you first register for TikTok and goes user 11117291 or whatever? And I came back to it, and I was like, what the heck? Like, and it was when I was popping off, so I was like, what the heck? And then some like small kid took it from me. And so I was like, well, I guess I'm not Dan Bam Bam now. So I changed it to something else.
You never got it back?
And then I got it back.
Oh,
so I think the kid just was like, had a conscience about it and was like, maybe I shouldn't do
that. Did he have your whole account?
No, he just had the ad, right?
Oh,
he took it while I was gone, so.
For a week?
Yeah, I didn't have internet access for a week, so I couldn't figure out what was happening. So
I was like, dang, that's scary.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But I'm Dan Bam Bam.
Dan Bam Bam.
Yes.
Insanely funny, like truly funny. Also, really chill dude. I don't know if many people know this, but like, you're a real person.
Yes, I am a real person.
With wants and needs and desires.
Yes,
and
wow.
We're gonna talk a little bit about that.
Okay, cool.
But you're on a straight dating show. Are you straight?
I am not straight. I'm very gay.
Oh my god.
Wow!
How is it wrong if we keep winning? I just don't know.
Yeah, I have a joke about like presenting as straight. I feel like a lot of people have told me that I look straight, and I don't know what that means. Right? Like, it's like, how do you like figure out what that means? I'm not gonna say the joke because it's dirty, but we keep that zip.
It does kind of feel like an insult, but like,
yeah,
we know
like
sometimes it could be a compliment. Internalized homophobia, right?
Yes, exactly. And so that's the thing. Is like, I don't know. It's kind of interesting to like balance that out. But I also feel like as I have progressed in my gay journey, that I've been kind of more comfortable with like, I don't know, expressing queerly.
Uh-huh.
Is that a word? And so yeah, that's been really fun. Like I tried stiletto nails for the first time.
Oh my gosh!
A few weeks back, and that was
did
really
you have your
fun.
Your friend do that?
Yes, yeah, Jacob.
Oh, he is good.
Jacob just like helps me express like so many of like my more feminine qualities, which is what I love. I don't know if that's even the case, right? I don't even know if it's so stupid that stuff is gendered.
Yeah,
but, like yeah, the more like femboy stuff, mm-hmm. like skirts and stuff. So it's really fun. It's really fun. Skirt night. We do a nails night where we get together and he just does all of our nails and all of our.
I'm not gonna lie. I saw those nails and they look like super like the villain who like is going to steal your voice and just climbs up your nose like.
Well, and that's like, that's the weird part is you have to learn how to like do stuff with nails on because I love pointing. I love being like, it's like a very like powerful thing to be like, come here, boy, come here. But it's also like a whole different thing to learn how to like go to the bathroom with long nails.
You feel like
and you're like, this is prodding in places it shouldn't.
I love that you feel empowered pointing at people, but in the bathroom, all of a sudden you need help.
Can someone help me?
You're like, how do I wipe without bleeding? Like, do you have to just like use like the side? Like,
yeah,
you
have to be. I had to look up a tutorial on how to like wrap. You just basically like point and wrap, and you kind of have to use just this part. Really.
Right in the crevice.
You have to be like right in the crevice and hope that you don't poke anything. But yeah, you have to kind of cover it up. It was very interesting. It was
like
a very interesting journey.
Not to be TMI, but I feel like I would have to buy new drawers because I don't think I'd be effective. You're like, this is...
Well, and that was the thing. So I only had them for a week because I was like, we're done. It's also like texting. Like texting was like, I felt like mom. Like I was like, but it's so fun tapping. It's like,
I love the idea of you having to, you have to look at your phone farther away. You're like, why also, am I aged all of a sudden?
Also scratching my head was...
Oh, did it feel amazing? Oh,
it was a beautiful experience.
It probably looked cool too.
Yeah, to be like, oh, wow. I have a picture of me just being like in a comedy show with like giant nails and I'm like, yeah, I'm looking gorgeous.
Yeah, I could see myself getting my depth perception off and like stabbing myself in the eye.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. Your body doesn't like know. Yeah, so I'd like, I'd go in to scratch stuff and be like,
like, I just point at someone, you boy, bring a napkin.
And then they do, because they're like, yeah.
He has nails!
Oh man, I remember once I was at church back in the day, and I went to like scratch my eye, and I like poked myself in the eye instead.
Ooh.
And I was like, I am a grown adult. How did I poke myself in the face? And I started laughing, and the person next to me thought I was crying. And they started rubbing my back.
He's feeling the spirit.
I know. And I was like, I just didn't want to embarrass him. So I committed. I was like, thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you so much. But I was like dying. I
love that.
Me a grown adult.
Okay. I couldn't, every time someone did maybe this is TMI, but every time someone did a musical item and they were bad. Okay. I don't like to laugh at people's expense. So I am not that type of person. But I had this one girl got up to do a violin performance and it was just horrible.
Violin's hard.
And I had to just cover it up, and I had the same situation where I was like I'm like dying with laughter, and the person next to me is like, oh, he's just so sad, he's so emotional over it. And I was like, yeah, it's so emotional.
I like the idea of them being like perplexed, like, why? I'm glad you're feeling it. Are you okay?
It was just like,
you're like, oh,
and you're like, okay, we're done, we're tired. It's
just like poke yourself in the ears with your nails. I'm like, dang. Oh my gosh. I feel like violin is one of those instruments too where like with their voice, there's like a range of voice. You know, you could be like really bad to really good, and there's like everyone can kind of get by. But violin, I feel like there's like two, there's like you're either great or...
Yep. I gave it up at 8 years old. It's not your day. Well, actually I did it from 8 to 10.
So you play.
That's a loose. Yeah, yeah.
You held a violin.
But
once.
I did do it. It had a sticker of a pickle on it. And it was like, oh, no, it was a cucumber.
Oh, it was
like,
a sticker of a pickle on it.
Stay cool like a cucumber.
Oh.
Yeah, it was real chill. It was my chill violin. I was like, I'm a cool violin player. I like have stickers
I'm
on
I'm not like the other violin players.
I'm different.
Look at this pun. Or saying.
You're like a cucumber.
I'm not like the other ones.
Fun.
Okay, so this is what I want to do. Have you seen that? So stupid. Have you seen that trend of Tyra Banks going around?
No, which one?
Where she'll interview people and like slaughter their name with different themes and then ask them a question?
No.
Okay, I'll show you after. Because I
feel like I have seen clips of it though. Yeah.
She's like Mary J. Blige. And she's like with Mary J. Blige, and one of them, she's like, Fairy J. Blige, do you believe in things that aren't real? Or she's like with Beyonce, and she's like, but she has like a series of them, and I want to do that with you.
Okay.
They're kind of just like quick answers, little ways for us to get to know you a little bit.
Okay, cool.
And really stupid. Okay. So I decided to grab Dan Bam Bam.
Okay.
And we're gonna just plug to this.
Okay.
Okay, let's get to know Dan Bam Bam. Daniel Spencer. Dan Bam Can. Is there something you haven't done that you still want to do?
Ooh, I want to go to Asia.
That's one of your things? You
that's
to
one
Asia?
Of my things. I definitely want to just go and like, I want to go sit in Thailand for like 3 months.
Oh, at some point.
And just go and like, ride a motorcycle. Apparently it's real cheap.
That's a good place to go. I was like, Thailand, you can go for a while.
Yeah, it's real cheap. 5-star hotels are like $30 out there. So I'm like,
but yeah. We're going to Thailand.
Yeah, go to Asia.
I love it. Okay, Dan Bam Spam. What's your favorite type of food?
Ooh, this is a hard one. We were just talking about this before the podcast. Chicken. Anything chicken?
Boy.
So good. Like,
are we the same person?
We're the same person.
Right now.
Yep. Yeah. Same wavelength. But yeah, anything chicken. Also, what I have been getting really into is zucchini-based stuff.
Really?
Yeah, zucchinis. I like a very plain vegetable, but the stuff you can do with zucchini is insane.
The places we can go.
A TikTok that, like, they made pasta out of zucchini.
Oh.
So good. I'll send you it now.
Send me that. Yeah. I literally had a mom today in the gym give me... She just, like, showed up. I was, like, at the bench press doing chest up, and she's like, you want some zucchinis? And I was like...
You're like,
I was like, what?
Yeah, thank you.
Of course, yeah.
Of course I want zucchini.
So I had these little bags of zucchinis at the gym.
Yeah.
So send me that. Okay. Dan Bam Tram. What's your favorite mode of transportation?
Ooh, my feet.
Really?
I love walking. I still, to this day, people are like, why don't you own a car? Like, why aren't you motivated to own a car? And it's like, sometimes I like to just walk. And honestly, public transit, I want to say Utah's not very walkable, no. unfortunately, but they're getting there. It's like slowly progressing. Get a bike, we're getting a little bit more like bus routes, you know?
It's true.
And so, yeah, I just really like walking. I love putting in my music and just kind of vibing, Ooh. Thinking about little skits that I'm going to do in the day. So.
Ooh, I like it. So, and you're a jack of all trades. I know you do a lot of different things. So this next one is Dan Bam Cram. Oh. How do you memorize lines and how do you write the funny things that you do?
So it's very interesting because my stand-up is so rehearsed. Like, mm-hmm. it's honestly gotten to the point where, like, usually with a stand-up set, I will practice and practice and practice until I get onto stage, right?
Yeah.
Or at least that's been my process. Recently, though, that's changed to where I just kind of free...
Is it because you know it so well?
Yeah, free flow. And mm-hmm. that's the thing. So there's that. But then with, like, my skits online... It is very loose. Like, really? I just come up with the jokes on the spot.
And then you're, like, writing.
And I'm like, oh, that's funny. I'm a funny guy. I should say that.
So, write this down. Psych.
Amazing. Well, and so that's the thing is it's just, like, getting a perfect take. That being said, I spend a lot of time trying to get the perfect joke. Because I'm like, there's a better joke there. There's a better joke. So it's very
skill.
Loose, very, like, free reign. And so that's my, like, yeah, it's very interesting because stand-up is so... You know, to the point, I need to make sure that it's delivered this way. And videos of just like, I'm going to say whatever.
I'm getting a little crazy. I love it. I love it. Okay. There's a couple more left.
Okay. We love this. I love all the little variations.
They're so dumb. I love it.
Dan Bam Cranberry.
Like, I was like, I should have carried these with you. Dan Bam Slam. How do you experience road rage?
Ooh, I am a very...
It was going to be, what do you order at Denny's? But I was like...
we love... I am a very angry person on the road.
Are you?
Only
is that why?
Because that's the thing.
Everywhere?
I'm a very chill person. If you meet me, yeah. I'm not like an angry person. Period. But like something about being in a car. Just I like, think it's also because I do listen to like I listen to rap music while I'm driving, and so like I feel like I'm just like I'll listen to like DMX, and then I'm just like I'll say some swear words, point some fingers at people. I'll do it with my nails on. I'll be like,
is DMX? Is that where that line came from? Where it's like. If you see me in the woods fighting with the bear, help the bear. Is that, yeah. I don't know. Is that him?
Yeah. Well,
if you see me in the woods fighting with the bear, help the bear.
DMX. So yeah, that's my like. But my anger comes out the most.
How do you do road rage? Are you like? You like
I'm not like crazy with it, but I do. I hate in Utah that people don't look at you. They like ignore you entirely. They try to be like they know they've messed up because drivers here are terrible, and they know they've messed up, but they won't look at you and they won't give you the satisfaction. And that's all I want. I just want to like, I want you to acknowledge that you've done a bad thing.
We
I'm
both
very,
know,
like parental.
We, but I am like that too. I feel like I always feel like my road rage vibe is I am like a mom who is, you know, we don't do this in this family, and you have really disappointed me, and yeah. I love you, but.
One of my favorite tweets ever was a guy said that a guy gave him a thumbs down when he was driving because he messed up. He like cut him off and he gave him a thumbs down. And I was like, that's the kind of like road rage I want to have is just be like, this is bad. You did a bad thing.
We're better than this as a family.
Like that's worse than like any swear word or anything angry that you could have said.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, let's finish this up. We got a couple more.
Okay.
Dan Bam Sand. Where's your favorite place to vacation?
Ooh, the beach.
The beach. Is it really the beach?
Oh, yeah. So it's very interesting because I love all variations of the beach. But more recently, I've just been going up to Oregon.
Oh.
And that was my first time. Very different kind of beach, right? Yeah. Like usually I'm used to just like sand. I love sandy beaches, just like warm weather. But Oregon is such a different vibe. That being said, every time I go to the beach in Oregon, it's never cold. It's always like on the most sunny, bright
wow.
day, and the water's perfect. And so I don't know what it is about me, but like clearly my like vibes are good
You're
enough.
Doing it.
Like the Mother Nature's like, you can have this.
You can have that.
You can have a warm day.
I feel like sand is like. I feel like that kind of beach is like. Fun, plan, hanging out with people. And I feel like Oregon beaches are like brooding and sitting in my emotions.
Yes, we love. And I think that's maybe why. It's just I love to like go and like chill and hike.
Yeah.
I've been into that a little bit more, right? Like being in nature. And the fact that you're like in the forest on a beach is such a weird experience, right? Where you're like, the furs.
You're like thick trees. And the closest I've seen to Oregon beaches is like what? Like Twilight?
Yeah,
I want
that's
that.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
I want that. Okay. Dan Bam Uncle Sam.
Ooh!
What are your thoughts on America?
Oh, wow. Ooh,
wait, where are you
delve?
From, by the way?
Should
Let's tell the world where you're from.
I was born and raised in Zimbabwe.
Yes.
Harare, Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. And I came out here to BYU. So, yeah, America. I think there's a lot to love about America, right? Like the convenience, the stuff that happens, all the like fun things. And then there's like the political and weird side of like how businessy and business oriented people are, and how like selfish people are, and people being like, I want all the money. And I'm like, can we like scale it back? Can we like help people? Like there's stuff there where
do we take a break to hug?
A little plug for Encircle. Can we like help people live their best lives, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Something like that.
No sides, only love.
No sides, only love.
Literally says it on a t-shirt right here.
Yes. Get yourself a shirt. No sides, only love.
And last but not least, Dan Bam Man. What's your type?
Ooh, what is my type? You know what? It's been changing recently, but I'm always a sucker. I'm always a sucker for bears.
Oh, really?
Yes, I like a hairy guy, a hairy big guy. Yeah.
A hairy big guy.
So, but yeah, I don't know if I necessarily have a definitive type. I'm a very like emotional based. If I connect with someone, I'm very attracted to that person.
Yes.
Because like if the person can make me laugh and like vibe out with me, I think that's more important to me. Obviously, there's like certain aspects of like looks and stuff, like the look of someone. But at the same time, I don't think that's the most important part for me. It's always just been like, yeah. And I know people say that all the time. They're like, I'm more of an emotional person. It's genuinely like that is a leading part of my like attraction.
Yeah, I used to wonder if I was like more demisexual, where I thought my attraction came from an emotional connection.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy pretty people.
Yeah.
But it's like, I feel the same way though. I'm like, I don't know if I have a physical type, but I definitely have like a personality type where it's like emotionally aware and
they need to have like certain characteristics where you're like, please be like a little more connective,
can you, are we self-aware to a degree? Yeah. There's a lot of boys out there.
There are. Yeah.
Ugh, men.
What's your type?
I think it's, I don't like have a physical type. I feel like it's just mainly like guys that I think if I look at the guys I've dated, they're like emotionally expressive, emotionally aware.
Love.
It's like the same. It's like I want to be attracted to you, but I feel like attraction comes and goes with how well we mesh and what your personality is like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah.
I'm a big cuddler. So like, I love when someone like is chatting me up while we're cuddling.
Oh, like,
you're so cute. And I'm like,
I know. My favorite thing is make out in conversation.
Yes.
Where you're like making out and then stopping and having a conversation and getting to know each other better.
Beautiful.
And kissing and conversing. And it's like,
so much better.
Like, yeah, it's like this flow. Some people are like, physicality. And I'm like, okay, like,
let's hold on.
So like, slow down. But it's like, I want, yeah, I don't know. I love that. We're not going too far. Okay, listen, that's as far as we're going.
That's as far as we're going.
No more. I wish I had another Dan Bam one, but that's as, I'm going to send you the videos of Tyra Banks doing it to all of guests, and you're going to die. Because it's like Mary J. Blige and Beyonce, those are the two cuts I've seen, and they're just like perplexed. They're like, what is happening?
What is going on?
Okay, so let's get into the meat a little bit, and we're not going to, apparently we had a good time in the beginning, but I want to get your story from being in the closet to now. We don't need to go crazy in depth unless you want to.
Okay.
But I just want to get to know like Dan Bam on your discovering your like sexual identity.
Yes. Where do you want to begin? Like,
it was a dark and stormy night.
So I'll start off in Zimbabwe, right? Like,
okay,
I feel like that did kind of lend itself well to like development wise.
Mm-hmm.
I did have a friend growing up who, in secret, we were like boyfriends.
I love how careful you just said that. It makes me want to dive into it so bad.
Yeah.
Like I had a friend.
A friend, yes.
There's a lot was said there. I'm not going to pry though.
Yeah, but he was just one of my good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was like my first like expression of like gayness. My dad was a bishop at the time, in the Mormon church. And so it was very interesting because I feel like, and I've only just started like really exploring this with like my therapist.
Yes. Plug for therapy.
Everyone should do therapy. I'm not even joking. Like, go to therapy.
Like, for real.
I made like the effort this year to really like prioritize because I had done some conversion therapy stuff.
Oh, mercy.
Yeah. Not like the more serious stuff. It was all very like, say you're a man over and over again. Like, let's figure out how to make you manly. It was like, are you going to go on a date with a girl? Are you going to play baseball? Do you like sports? And I was like, this doesn't feel like therapy. Yeah. Like, this feels like...
some weird
fat. I don't know. It was just... Okay, you want to talk about the fat stuff? So I was way, way bigger. I've lost 60 pounds.
I said frat party. Oh.
But I'm like, yeah, just come for me. Come for my way. It's all good. But the one guy told me...
I'm glad I clarified.
The one guy told me that the reason that I was gay was... well, he didn't say, like, necessarily. He wasn't like, the reason you're gay. Oh, he was just like... the reason that you're having all of these gay emotions, he didn't say gay, he said same-sex attraction, is because your diet and your exercise are not up to par. And I was like,
no!
Have you seen gay men? Have you seen Stacey Hockey?
Oh, like, stop.
Buff! They are like cut people. I don't think eating an apple is going to change my sexuality at this point. So it was just a very,
could
like,
could you imagine? I would never eat an apple. Yeah. I'd be like, not worth it.
An apple a day keeps the gay away?
Wait, what did you say?
He said an apple a day keeps the gay away?
Change the circle shirts now. We have a new brand. We have a new branding.
But yeah, so it was just very interesting. Like, growing up, I was very nervous. I was very scared of my gayness. Mm-hmm. And, like... I went to an all-boys school. Homosexuality was illegal in Zimbabwe. And so, like...
like, punishable by... like
by law, yeah.
Oh, my word.
Like, any sort of practice of it. And so, and like... it was just very interesting to try and, like, figure out how to express myself. And so, I feel like it came out in... I love that people are like, gay guys are so funny. Gay guys are so funny. But obviously it's like
trauma.
yeah, that's it, right? It's like you kind of have to use it as a defense mechanism where you're like, if I'm like big and bold, mm-hmm. I guess was kind of my thinking, then I'll be safe, kind of vibes, right?
Like people won't come after you kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, or like if I express gaily, I can say it's a joke.
Oh.
Right? Like, oh, it was just a joke. Like,
me, I'm being...
And then they're like, what did you just do with your hands? And you're like, that's a joke. I'm
it's
joking.
It's called comedy.
I'm going to be there. But that was genuinely... I was so scared. And so I feel like I had to, like, in some ways live a very large lie in that regard, right? And so, like, it all kind of was... It was just very different, you know? That being said, I felt... and I've looked back on it. I feel like, had I not gone to BYU... mm. I think I would have been gay a lot sooner. Right? Or at least outwardly gay.
I wonder about that myself, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to attend a few colleges, but I chose BYU in the end. I almost went to NYU, actually.
Really?
What
would you have studied at NYU?
I was a big Donald Glover fan. Childish Gambino, for anyone that knows him.
He's brilliant.
Incredible. And I was always inspired by the fact that he was so, like, multifaceted and talented, right? Just
musician,
like...
musician, actor, yeah. Writer, stand-up comedian.
Doing like, everything. And I loved him in 30 Rock. Mm-hmm. I loved him. I was a huge Community fan.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when I was, like, in high school. I kept telling people to watch Community, and, like, no one knew what it was.
Didn't he write Werewolf Bar Mitzvah?
Werewolf Bar Mitzvah?
Werewolf Bar Mitzvah. Spooky, scary. Boys becoming men. Men becoming wolves. I think he wrote that.
He wrote it. Yeah, no. That's the thing. Is he's fantastic. And I watch, I mean, to this day, Atlanta's, like, it has my heart. And so, like, it was just an interesting journey to watch Donald Glover and want to, like, be in that realm, be in that, like, place. Yeah. And I think I also wanted to go to NYU because I knew I was different, right? Yeah. Like, I knew that, like, there was something about... like, I was like, I'm gay. I didn't acknowledge it, really. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to acknowledge it. But I never dated girls. I was never really, like, into women. My high school dance... so it was very interesting. I had started losing weight because I was playing varsity rugby. They forced me onto the varsity rugby team because they were like, you're a big boy. Like, you need to be, like, playing rugby.
And you didn't want to play.
I don't want to... well, I had been playing for fifths.
Uh-huh.
So it's first, second, third, fourth, fifth team.
Oh!
Yes.
That's like... That's not B team. That's like...
down there. Yeah.
G team.
Because, well, so you're required in Zimbabwean schooling to either do two clubs and a sport or two sports and a club.
Oh, interesting.
And so I did... yeah, I had to play a sport during one of the terms.
I do like rugby a lot.
And rugby, yeah. Rugby was like, it was fun. And that was the thing, in fifth teams, it was such a joke, right? That we were like, we're gonna just like, we're doing literally not playing rugby, really. We were like, yeah, the amount of penalties we got in games, and we were like, it was so fun, right? And that was the whole point. Again, I loved joking, and it was fun to laugh about stuff. And so it was, and for a game that I did not take seriously, it was fun to not take it seriously. And then suddenly I was forced to play it. Like, the first team coach approached me after watching me play in a game. It was a very interesting game because I never took it seriously unless you got me angry. Unless you got me road raging.
The road raging came out.
A guy
and then you just thumbs down
grabbed a certain part of my body to try and, make me not play well. And I got very angry. And I was like...
As you should,
and
right?
And that's the thing. When I'm angry, I'm angry. Like... And that's the other thing. I had bottled up my anger because I was gay.
Right? Uh-huh. Like, so it was like seeing more. Red?
So I'm seeing red, and I was like, "I'm coming for you." Like I was very like poignant with my like anger. I'd be like, "I'm gonna kill you," and I want you to know that. And they'd be like, "I'm scared. Like, this guy's gonna kill me. Like, something about him. Is he gay? Is he a like, I don't
you
know
grew taller." This is the range of, like, generations. I don't know what's happening.
And so I played an amazing game, apparently, because I was angry at this one guy. And it happened to be the game that the first team coach was watching, because we played at, like, 8 a.m. And so no one came to watch our games besides, like, a couple parents, right? And so, they forced me onto the first team, rugby. I was always nervous also about doing rugby. And this is maybe just like TMI as well. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on this podcast.
Let's find out.
But I was nervous. I was nervous about like going into showers with guys, right? First team, we never had to do that stuff. I was so nervous about like all the stuff because from what I understood, my education on like gay guys was they're so sexual. They're hypersexual. Yeah. Everything's going to like turn you on. Everything, you know? Yeah. And I didn't, like, again, I had no opportunity to kind of explore that.
That's a very real concern that I had. And I'm sure it's not just us, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like being in like male spaces. Like, I played soccer. I kind of avoided sports growing up because I was afraid of being in the locker room.
Yeah, I was afraid of being in the locker room and being like, because that's the other thing. Straight guys are so gay. In locker rooms. Like, that is where they are that's where they're like the most gay, right? Like, they have this opportunity to spank each other, and you're like, what is going on? What is happening in this place, right? And so, like, being in those moments, I was nervous that I was going to express weirdly.
But, what if something happens?
But that was the thing. As when I got put on the first team rugby stuff, I recognized that, like, that didn't affect me at all, right? Like, I was like, I'm here to play a sport, and I have control over my mind and my body.
Yes.
I'm still a human being. I don't know why I, like, leaned in or, like, gave in to the narrative that, like, you will have no control if you're gay.
Because we know just as little about ourselves sometimes, especially in those processes, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I thought that I was, like, as I got more into fitness, and I was, like, I started doing triathlon training, and I was in locker rooms with people, and I was wearing less in this triathlon training than I would, like, in my day-to-day, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember being, like... Like, locker rooms are very comforting for me. And I'm like, it's just like it's a place where people are just themselves.
Exactly.
You know, you're in a locker room with an old dude who doesn't care about what's happening and who.
And it's always an old
dude. You're like, always an old dude. He's like, in your face, leg up.
I'm from the 60s.
Grandpappy. But there's also something kind of cool about that where it's like, oh yeah, they're just bodies. Like, I went in being like, this is just like, it's like hanging out with your brothers.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I was like, this is.
Yeah, it's not the same. And that's the thing. It manifested so weirdly for me in that regard because I feel like I had all these opinions and these thoughts and it didn't end up that way, right?
Right.
But then, back to the story. I had been playing rugby. Mm-hmm. I'd lost a lot of weight and suddenly girls were like attracted to me, right?
It was very interesting. I kind of hate that.
So I went to an old boy
school. I get it.
Yeah. I went to an old boy school, but in the last 2 years of our... Or at least we were the only high school that did an IB program. It's called like International Baccalaureate or something.
Oh.
And it helps kids get into like Ivy League schools.
Oh.
And so in the last 2 years, girls were allowed to come into our high school and like participate in IB. And so all
Imagine
these girls
the
started giving...
Of all the guys all of a sudden being like...
Well, and so that was the thing is I was like, I was the class clown a little bit, like very funny, like, or at least trying to be, you know, like... I was so funny. But it was just a very interesting moment for me because I was losing weight and obviously becoming conventionally attractive. And then on top of that being funny, girls were like, oh, like he's a really nice guy.
Yeah,
like, I want to get to know him.
There's something.
And so I had this interesting moment where one of the most beautiful girls, her name was Hannah. Hannah Danes. Shout out Hannah Danes.
Hannah Danes?
I haven't talked to her in forever, but...
Hannah Danes was into you?
She was into me, Hannah Danes. And I didn't know how to, like, honestly, like, deal with the situation. I flirted back because people were telling me to flirt back.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I have had always... It's one of the biggest regrets of my life is just, like... leading girls on because I felt the need to...
Like hide.
To hide. Like yeah. Self-preservation. It sucks, right? Because suddenly they get like insecure about it where they're like, well, he's just like not into me. Like, why is he not into me? Like, I'm trying so hard and I'm like, I really like this guy. And it's honestly like some of those people are like now my best friends. Those are women, right? Like the women that were into me.
Back, oh, really?
At least at BYU. But yeah, I had this weird moment with Hannah Danes where... the expectation was like, why are you not like pursuing her? Why are you not being bold and like?
It's very heartstopper.
Yeah, very heartstopper. Yeah, yes, yeah, yeah.
Wow,
and so it was just a very interesting moment, and that was the first moment I think I acknowledged my gayness, where I was like,
I gotta admit something to myself.
I can't do this. Like I was like, I can't. Like I went to the dance, and all she wanted was like my attention, and I was so scared. Right, I was so scared. She wanted to kiss, and she wanted to like.
Were you
dance.
Scared because you were like, I don't want to do this, but I feel like I have to? Or were you like, how do I avoid this situation? Like, what was
yeah,
that?
I felt like I had to do it, right? Mm. Because it was like, society is telling me that I have to, like, pursue it in this way. Mm. And it was just weird. So that was the first time I, like, kind of really, really said to myself, like, I don't know if I can, like, fully date women. That obviously changed when I came to BYU, though, because the culture at BYU is
date.
Yeah.
Like, you come back from the mission, and now it's time to, what do I say, multiply and replenish the earth. You're like, I gotta get married and make some more little Stacys.
And I was a part of the, like, age change missionary group.
Oh, so you served at 18.
Well, so, and that was the thing. I went to BYU. When I first was at BYU, I knew I was kind of like, I just need to do BYU and get out of here. I don't know if I want to do a mission.
Yeah.
And then I moved into that full semester where they announced the age change, and suddenly everyone was like, are you gonna go on a mission? Are you gonna go on a mission? And I will say that I feel like I converted to the church on my mission. I'd
really?
Never read the Book of Mormon before going on my mission.
Wow, interesting.
Obviously I knew the stories, but never participated, right?
And I was like, I would love to have like tested you, been like, you know, when that one guy turns into the bird.
Well, that's the thing. I knew the general broad stuff. I didn't know, and I knew like, I don't know, the metaphorical like meaning behind every story.
Right.
But I had never really delved into double. Like, religion in that way, other than maybe like it was a performance art, right?
Gotcha.
Bearing your testimony and being like, I really care about this. It felt like performance. It felt like the same lie that I had to tell myself.
Interesting.
With to being gay.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, no, I'm straight. No, I'm into this thing. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, I love the church. Oh, the church is so fantastic.
Ties. I like. Those ties are... Those
well, it's all, and that's the thing that I've been exploring with my therapist, and this is the overarching stuff, is that I had to lie to protect myself in a lot of situations.
Oh, and it's
right?
like a muscle you've developed.
Yeah,
like,
and so that's the thing is I've been very, like, as I've come out, and that's the thing, as soon as I came out, I was like, I never want to tell another lie again. I don't want to be, like, untruthful. I don't want to be not myself. And so when people meet me and I'm not like over the top, because I used to be like that, especially at BYU.
Oh, the pressure, right?
Right. The class clown, the big bold guy, right?
Yeah.
Like, ha ha ha, I'm so funny. I don't like to do that anymore because it's just not who I am.
It's like emotionally draining too.
It is.
And I know you know that being a performer or like, you know, and a comedian. And I know when people meet you, sometimes they expect you to, I'm assuming they expect you to perform.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're like,
tell me a joke.
Yeah. And you're like drawing those boundaries of being like, I'm not like your entertainer right now.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not an entertainer right now. Right now I'm Daniel.
That could be hard.
But come and see my shows or go to my social media profiles. Right. And
yeah.
I had to draw that. I did have to draw that line. And that's only something I've recent, like over the pandemic had to like. Realize again only through therapy did I kind of realize all this sort of stuff myself.
I mean, can I go on a little tangent here?
Yeah, go on a tangent.
What's that been like? Because like you've been in the public light for quite a bit, right? Quite a bit of time. Do you feel like Provo's Most Eligible is when you started getting in the public light, or were you kind of before that?
It was before that. So
because you had that meme account.
I did have the meme account. So
that
I
was
had,
so fun.
I had Provoho Life, which was wonderful.
So good.
It was a meme account, and then I had This is an interesting part about my TikTok. Thing. So I joined TikTok right as it was advertised.
Smart.
Right? Musical.ly had changed to TikTok. Mm-hmm. And
it's a very
I was
different
just
platform
like,
back
a very different platform, yeah. I was actually looking through my videos the other day, and I was like, I was a very different content creator when this first started, because I was doing all the sounds and everything. Mm-hmm. But I definitely had a moment where I was like, oh, I can be like myself on here. This is a platform where I don't have to like hide any part of myself. So I'm like shirtless in my TikToks.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of my body and my early TikToks, right? I'm not self-conscious about like anything really. I remember I swore in one video and someone told on me to my parents. It was so weird. It was so weird.
You're like a full adult.
I'm a full ass adult in this moment. Sorry. I don't know if I'm allowed to say. But, yeah. And my parents called me and they're like, did you swear in this video? And I was like, I did swear in this video. And they were like, they're very disappointed. Like you shouldn't clean comedy. And I was like, okay, but sometimes a swear word's okay. And that's the thing. TikTok was just my safe space until I started getting very popular on it. And that was, as I was filming Provost Most Eligible, that's when that kind of started.
Oh, that's
so I gained when I was filming Provost Most Eligible, I hit about 500K followers on TikTok. And that's when everything started becoming more popular, right? Yeah. Provo Whole Life had taken off. The meme account had taken off. And so, yeah, it was very interesting to be a prominent figure in the LDS community, right?
And you weren't out at this time.
I wasn't out at all, no.
How was navigating that? Like, you're under the public, and I think a lot of people can identify what it's like to feel like, man, like, people are watching me. But, like, you were experiencing it on a different level. What's that like to be in the public eye and trying to navigate your sexuality? Or in the public eye and trying to navigate you yourself in boundary setting, because that can be a whole other thing.
Well, and that's the interesting part about all of it, honestly, is I continued to lie to myself and to people. I came out
about your sexuality.
And that was the thing. I came out. It was the week I got eliminated from Provo's Most Eligible. When that episode
aired, great time to come out.
It was very interesting. Actually, I can share this experience because it was wonderful for me, at least. I have an aunt who is a lesbian. Mm-hmm. Shout out Linda, she's amazing.
Yes, Linda. Aunt Linda,
like, yeah, she's incredible. And we only interact every now and then, but I just have always felt so connected to her, right? Mm-hmm. Even in my youth, I felt like she'd like visit and I'd just be like, I want to be like her, you know? But I was too scared. I was too afraid of disappointing or whatever, right? The day I got eliminated, I asked to be eliminated from the show. Because I was also like, this is a waste of time, a little bit, where I was like, nothing's going to happen from this, and I feel bad. Again, I feel bad for leading on a girl who could potentially be, like, into me. I don't think she was. I think she was definitely more into the other contestants.
She's
but
very into Keaton.
But very, like, wanting to be my friend, and I felt like I had to lie to her to be in that situation. I was like, I hate this.
Good on you.
And I remember calling my sister after I got eliminated and being like, I hate that, like, I had to do this to try and prove something to myself or try and be like different.
And your sister knew you were gay at the time.
Yes, yeah. She told me not to do the show. She was like, don't do the show. I was like, I'm just going to do it for fun.
It was a good time.
Or like, see if this is an option. And she's like, you know, it's not an option. I was like, but maybe it is. And she's like, it's not. She was like very honest. Anna was also wonderful in that experience. My sister Anna. But I called my Aunt Linda that night and I came out to her and I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, should I like come out publicly? Like, I'm in the public eye now. Yeah. People follow me. I want to be honest with people. And she was like, maybe wait until you graduated from BYU.
Oh, smart.
She was like, it's not a safe space. And you need to wait for it to be a safe space. Oh. And she was like, that's my advice. Take it or leave it. Like, whatever you feel comfortable with. Because it's true. I had mutual friends have like experiences with queer students at BYU who were like in trouble with the honor code office for like having a friend over and holding hands with them, right? Like stuff like that, where it was like, it was just so weird. And that was kind of the moment where I realized that I needed to be honest with myself. Was I had come out, done the show, I was popping off on TikTok, and this was around February, March of 2020, right before the pandemic hits. Suddenly BYU has their moment of, we're going to take out homosexual activities from the honor code phrasing. And suddenly all queer students were like, yes, we get to express
freedom.
Ourselves. And this is wonderful. And people are kissing on campus. I went to a party where everyone like kissed and danced. And it was just like a beautiful experience, right?
This is like such a like...
They were like kiss someone of the same gender. And we were like, yeah! It was wonderful, right? And that lasted for about a week, and then they reversed the policy. And I remember looking at the statement from BYU. I was in a statistics class, and I started crying. I was just bawling my eyes out. I'm sorry, I could get emotional about this as well. That's another thing my therapist told me, is let out your emotions. Yes. Like, don't block them. I remember going up from the statistics class, because it was right across, like, it's, I can't remember what the building's called, but it's, like, right across, like, kitty corner from the, a big courtyard.
Wilk.
The area. Wilk, yeah, Wilk area. And I started walking over to the Wilkinson Center, and one of my friends, I saw her, and just, like, kind of shot a beeline straight to her. And I was walking through all the students that were like, I can't believe these gay people are protesting. How can they protest? All because they can't date. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you had your dating abilities,
revoked or something.
Revoked, yeah. Like, you would be angry. If some old guy was like, oh, straight people can't date at BYU, game over. That's because like, the amount like the of like, especially of for the straight men, and that was all straight men that were saying it as I was going through the crowd. It wasn't women. It was all these straight guys being like standing on the edge and watching all of us hurt, like genuinely be in pain. There were students, so many of us crying, and these BYU students were standing on the sidelines being like, ugh, hate this. How could they? They knew what they signed up for. As we're doing it, like in the middle of our protest, I had someone from my mission come up and be like, what's the purpose of this? And I was like, if I have to explain it to you, you don't get it.
And it's kind of like, I don't have the emotional energy that I'm already dealing with to like have the patience you need.
Exactly. That's I was like, I'm going to get very angry at you. Yeah, it's that like, was like, you, that was all I felt at that moment.
Because I don't have the patience to give you like the time you need and be able to explain it correctly.
And that was the thing. In the same way that anger came out and when I'm road raging, and when I'm playing rugby, apparently, anger really came out, and I was angry. Mm-hmm. I was frustrated at the church, at BYU, at all of those students. Yeah. It was suddenly like, these people don't like me because of my sexuality, of all things, right? I'd stood in like locker rooms with gay guys, with straight guys being so gay, expressing gaily, right? Everyone's a little gay, right? Like in some way, shape or form. And I put that in my set and I had to like, I did it that week. I did a stand-up show at BYU in the stand-up club where I just went off about like how gay straight men are. Because I was like, they need to know how angry and weird and frustrating it is to be on the other side of this like conversation where it's like, you're not acknowledging feelings. Right? And then they
like basic humanity.
The Ben Shapiro stuff, like, facts don't care about your feelings. And I was like, there's no fact about this particular situation. The fact is, I deserve the right to be able to love and care about people. And that was the thing, is that that whole week of freedom gave me the opportunity to be like, it's so beautiful to love people, right? It's so wonderful to care about people. It's so wonderful to be in a community as well that really supports that. And so in that moment, I got very angry about everything, like about life. But the other thing, and that was the thing, I started organizing everything. And I had popped off on TikTok at this point.
Right.
I was very popular. I did a vibe check. That was a very prominent part of my videos. Mm-hmm. I did a vibe check for BYU.
Loved it.
Went viral. I started organizing stuff. Should I spill some tea? This is fun.
If you want to.
Shout out Color the Campus. They do the lighting
make it a little rainbow.
So, a little fun fact, a guy on Twitter, his name is Mormon Informant, or his at is Mormon Informant.
Okay.
On Twitter, messaged me and said, I've bought all these lights and they are rainbow colored. I think we should light the Y. And I said, yes.
Were you the idea behind that?
I was not the idea. Mormon Informant was.
God. Oh,
but Mormon Informant knew I had the connections.
Right.
I organized a party with all the gay students that weekend and said, I'm going to invite everyone over and we are going to organize the Light the Y moment. But COVID hit.
Oh.
And we went into lockdown.
Oh.
And suddenly we lost all the traction.
Yeah,
lost
like
all the news and, support, like news media.
COVID was everything.
COVID was everything, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
Right? And so that was frustrating for me, where it was like, I feel like I had this power taken away from me, and this moment and opportunity to kind of really do something about BYU.
Sounds like you're at a tipping point.
A tipping point.
Like,
yeah.
You're like, something has to change, and I'm gonna, and you're, and it's like motivation, and you're like, it's gonna happen one way or the other.
And suddenly I had to just take that all and sit in a house for a year, right? And so it was very frustrating. And I think, honestly, I have no regrets about that. I think Color the Campus was a better opportunity for that to happen. It would have been wonderful had we done it, but honestly, loved the fact that they did it at an even better time, which where it, like, it reminded people, where it was like, this is what we need to be worrying about. Yeah.
Wait,
we
so need to worry. Where did you come out in this timeline?
I came out right as I was eliminated from the show.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
While you were still a student.
Yeah. Gotcha. And still a student.
It's bold, even knowing
and
that.
So, like... But that was the thing. I was still my happy, loud self. That week, that week of taking the BYU, revoking the BYU stuff, was the moment that I was like, I'm done pretending.
Yes.
I'm done acting like it's okay. So that my mission friend came up and was like, what's going on here? Oh, and I had people DMing me on Provo Ho Light, the meme account, being like, I don't get it. It's so frustrating. It's so stupid. Then add on top of that Black Lives Matter in that moment and all of the sort of stuff just kind of being piled on.
Time.
A heavy time too. Yeah. And it was like, these people don't understand and they have no connection to human emotion or in the way that I think is very different to the way they think. And so I became very frustrated about a lot of stuff. And only... I mean, I just spent the year kind of like being angry.
Yeah.
And then about 2021, I went through a kind of hectic moment.
Okay. It's like the finding yourself chaos where you're like, this is the fall.
I had two mental breakdowns. So the first mental breakdown was during that angry time.
Yeah.
That was the reason I was away and my act got taken away. I take it out.
Take the breathers, right?
Yep.
Easier said.
Also, I will say, mental health is important, and you have to acknowledge it, or else it's going to keep building up until it absolutely reaches its breaking point.
It does not go away. It either asks you to give it attention, or it demands it.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is you don't want to reach to that point, right? We have to address it. Even right now, my therapist just changed practices. I haven't had it for about a month and a half, and I'm, like, desperate for therapy. I'm like, well, it's happening next week, so we're like... but that's the thing is, it was just a very like weird time in my life where I'm like, oh, this is crazy. And I had one in 2021, kind of around the same time. It was both summers. And I just kind of realized that like, I need to put my energy somewhere else and I need to let some of this go. Mm-hmm. And I need to figure out how to let it go because it's not going to be worth it to care about other people's thoughts and opinions. All I can do is spread good.
It's like a burden. It's like a weight you can't even like change. It's like not your responsibility. And you're like carrying it around.
And so that was the thing. I sat down with my family. It was a very interesting moment. It was a very bad mental health moment for me. But I just was very honest with them about everything.
Oh.
They asked me about my first mental breakdown in 2020. I had broken up with a boy, but I couldn't tell them about that because there was still judgment and there was still, I don't know, kind of this like weird, I don't know. It was just a very interesting moment where they had blamed it. I don't know if I'm allowed to share all of this stuff, but
feel free to share.
I had started experimenting with like weed, right? Medicinal weed, obviously. And wanted to kind of like, see if that could treat it. Honestly, it didn't. I'll be real. Like, it's a distraction from your real mental health stuff.
Sometimes
we love it to help you to sleep, but maybe don't use that to like treat your mental health. Go to a therapist for that, and go to a psychologist and get the necessary like chemicals for your brain. Right?
We treat symptoms so much, and you're like, no, we gotta get to the real heart of
the real stuff.
It's like
right?
a Band-Aid on a bullet wound kind of thing.
And so that was the weird thing is they blamed it. You know, my family at this moment, they were like,
because
you're doing everything else. And it was like, I loved someone and I just went through my first breakup at 26.
It's like, you're trying so hard in a way that doesn't make your family uncomfortable. That doesn't lead to like all this pressure. You're like, you're searching you're searching for answers.
But it goes back to the lie, right? Mm-hmm. Is I just kept bottling things up and not being honest with people.
Ooh.
And
what
the moment
wants their kid to not be able to talk to them about the stuff that's most important to them.
Exactly.
And I think that's easier to say. You say, you're like, oh, every parent wants their kid to, but it's like, do you really want that?
And it leads you down the wrong roads, right? Yeah. I couldn't tell people what I actually thought or felt. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to find all these other ways to express and or feel something, right? And it wasn't right. It wasn't good. No. It wasn't the way that it needed to be expressed. And so the moment that I did, I was very, very honest about everything with my family.
Good for you.
It was, and we sat up until like 4 a.m.
Whoa.
It was very interesting.
Was it well received, or was it kind of like, this is just the first step?
I won't delve into that, but because I love my family, I think, and we've had conversations about that now. We've gone back and revisited that conversation
like,
and said, what did I tell you in that conversation and what did you hear? Or it was very different.
Gotcha.
It was very interesting. I won't delve into it just because it was a long story.
Of course, of course.
Now I would say it's very well received. And they know my boundaries. And that was the other thing. I set up boundaries with my family.
Way easier said than done.
Exactly. And that's the other thing. Well, I mean, it's taken 2 years for me to do this. And they've read it as like, oh, you don't like love it, us, and you don't like care about it. And I was like, no, the reason I'm doing this is because I do.
Because I do.
I really do genuinely care about
this
you.
This is how our relationship's going to be best, is by respecting each other's boundaries.
Respecting each other's boundaries. And there are some things that you guys can and will connect with, and you guys can be emotionally attached to me for, but there are other parts of my life where you guys aren't in a place emotionally to connect. Right. And so that's the other thing, is I have found so much strength and love. The benefits of having COVID kind of dissipate was that I got to meet more queer people. I had queer friends and we all kind of came out and we hung out during the pandemic, but it was small groups.
Of course.
But as I did my first Pride parade this year, and I had my first moment of going to like the gay clubs, right? And dancing and just being with people that like genuinely care about me in the same way and can relate to the experiences that I have had. And I found so much strength in community.
Yeah.
In the LGBTQ plus community, because it's been so beautiful to talk to people that, I don't know. And you've been one of those people.
What?
Stacey, shout out to Stacey Hockey.
We
had a wonderful moment on New Year's, was it? Around New Year? Where we, Stacey did a card, tarot card reading for us.
Oh my gosh.
A spirit deck, and it was just wonderful. And
that was beautiful. I was like,
it was great. But this is the thing, is that life is changing and it's gotten better. I started posting on social media. I took a big break from that because I needed to kind of sort through all of this stuff.
This leads me to another question. I don't want to cut you off.
You're good.
Another question is, so the theme I feel like in this, what I wanted to explore is queer joy. Yes. Now, I don't have a definition for that.
Yep.
But I want to know from you, and it sounds like you're kind of going down that route, like, have you found joy in your queerness? What do you love about being gay?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Is there something there that you feel like, is it honestly better?
I feel like the thing that I'm most happy about with my queerness is that I just get to express it more. Mm. I've always felt somewhat feminine, right? And again, we're going back to like the gendered stuff, right?
Same.
But I was the kid who used to sneak into his sister's cupboards and like put on their heels, right? I was so sad. I think about this with my friends. I was so sad when I have big feet. I have size 13s. And I was so sad when my feet outgrew my sister's shoes.
You do have big feet.
I loved being able to like model walk to Britney Spears. I turned on my sisters whenever like my family was not home. I would put in a Britney Spears CD and like strut to it. Boom, 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 or whatever that song is on her, like, I can't remember what the albums are, but just, there were so many like wonderful moments where I feel like I'm getting back to that.
Yeah.
Like younger Daniel who didn't care as much. And again, in those moments, I probably had to keep it on the low, but now I can just do it openly and freely. Like, we talked about Jacob taking me dress shopping was so fun. Right. And I don't know. I'm definitely like a comfortable person. Like I'm like t-shirt shorts person, but for the most part, like, I feel like I'm just at a point in my life where I get to do whatever I want and be whoever I want.
Yes.
And that's what counts the most, right?
So liberating when you take those weights off. All of a sudden, I don't know about you, but like, I feel creatively inspired. I feel freer. I feel more connected to people around me because I'm not worrying about all this
stuff. It suddenly is such a release, you know? Mm. And again, it goes back to being honest with yourself and saying, who do I want to be?
Yeah.
Who do I respect and love? Who do I care about? Who do I want to put all of my effort in love and support and emotion toward? It's just been really wonderful to be queer and to really just kind of express that in the best and most wonderful ways, right? Like, I love my nails. I love...
I want some of those power nails.
I love being able to kind of flick my wrists as I do.
Yeah, and not be worried about...
Not be worried. I have... I just actually literally last night messaged some drag queen. I feel like that's going to be like an option for me. It's just, I do stand up already. I might as well.
But like, you would kill. But you know it's true though.
Yeah.
Like, I know you know.
Because I can dance. I can kind of sing.
You can perform.
I can perform. And I do comedy already. So all of this stuff is just kind of related to what I go back to, which is I love making people laugh. Mm-hmm. And I love, and that was the other thing, is I always use that as like a kind of a way to cope. Is like, if other people are laughing, then I can find comfort in that.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I can do that and love myself at the same time. And it's like so beautiful to be able to do all of this now and just be on this journey, figuring it out, you know?
I love the full circle of how, even hearing in your story, how comedy once was a way to like hide and now is a way for you to connect or to like be yourself. And that I feel like so beautiful.
I get to have those deeper conversations with people in my stand-up too, right? Mm-hmm. Like I said, I get to address straight men and be like, you're so gay. I get to express the fact that people look at me and say, well, you don't look gay. Such a stupid conversation.
Oh my gosh.
I address all of the stuff in my stand-up and in my videos because I feel like it needs to be said, right? Where it's like, we need to have these tough conversations, but if I can do it in an accessible and fun way, then people are laughing with me and not at me or being angry.
Yes.
At me, you know?
I feel like that's a good point to say. Where, like, you are doing so much. You have... There's a song. I just forgot that you sang that song. I just listened to it in the car the other day.
The Vibe.
Yeah, it's like, please, baby, don't let... I'm not a singer. Go. I'm like, I go hard at that song. But you're a musician, you're a writer, you're a performer, you're a comedian. What are you working on right now?
Basically, I'm just working on social media.
Yeah.
Follow me.
It's like you're doing stand-up comedy, right? You're performing.
I am. I'm touring. I have been touring with Ben Brainerd, but the goal now is to start working on my own stand-up tour. So keep an eye out. Follow for information about that. In the meantime, I have just been working on creating content. The goal is to create TV shows and movies.
I've seen queer movies. I'm like in the process of working on, and
I think about like creating a movie, I'm always like Stacey Hockey.
Stop.
It's like the go-to. Stacey Hockey.
We talk about it. We're like, we gotta make stuff together.
We just need to make stuff together. This is the other thing is there are so many opportunities to tell queer stories right now.
Yeah.
And that's what I really want to do.
I wish I would have had a movie last year. Yeah. Ready, but I'm like, I need to write it now.
Yeah. You have Heartstopper coming out.
All
of this.
Obviously, TV movies.
Red, White,
Island.
And Blue. What is it?
The book?
Yeah. They're changing that into a TV show.
Oh my gosh. It's time.
Red, White, and Royal Blue. Amazing book.
Yeah.
To all the adults listening.
Yeah.
I recommend that one. But just a wonder. Yeah. Like, I love that we're in a time where we can have Fire Island and Bros and all of these gay stories being told. I wish I had that growing up. I remember sneaking and watching Brokeback Mountain and crying.
I haven't seen that movie.
It's so wonderful.
I remember watching Moonlight by myself.
I watched Call Me By Your Name at BYU at like 3 a.m. when my roommates were... It was like Thanksgiving break. And it was like... And Timothée Chalamet's bawling at the end. I was like, I haven't seen that one either. Yeah.
Okay, I have some homework I need to do.
It was wonderful. So,
well, Daniel, thank you so much for coming. This has been an absolute joy. I've actually was very like... There was a point where I was like, oh, Stacey, you got to say something. Because I was just like hooked into the story. Well, thank you so much for coming. And please check out Daniel Spencer on Instagram, TikTok.
Everything.
Dan Bam Bam. And I hope I didn't offend you with anything.
Definitely not. And I hope I didn't offend you.
No.
Well, then.
You're totally good. All right. Well, until next time, we'll see y'all.
Bye. Ciao.